So yesterday we started the world of the Iska relationship, and we're going to build on that further today. So yesterday we talked about two different kinds of ways that two people can go into business. We're going to call one person the provider of capital, the supplier, and another person the worker. Okay. So, if you recall, that much of yesterday was dedicated to the idea of your standard, default textbook relationship of ISCA, partnership, where the deal is that the provider of capital gives the, whatever it is, for sale, the wine, as I said yesterday, and then the salesman agrees to sell the wine, and they'll split the profits, but it's not a profit-sharing arrangement, it's actually a partnership, where not only are they agreeing to split the profits, but they're also agreeing ahead of time to split the liability. We'll assume 50-50 for both. So in other words, we'll work on yesterday's example, the supplier of capital is going to bring $10,000 worth of goods of wine for sale. Their plan is to sell it at a $6,000 profit, so $16,000 total, and then the supplier of capital gets $10,000 back, his principal, plus they'll get half of the profit, $3,000 for him, and the other half of the profit, $3,000, goes to his partner, the salesman. But, this is very important, if something, in that basic ISCA relationship, the standard case where things aren't specified, just a regular partnership, if the wine would sour or an earthquake would happen or whatever it would be, and instead of a profit there would be a loss, the agreement is going to be that the seller, the salesman, is agreeing to compensate. He's going to absorb half the loss. So in the event that they overestimated what they could sell the wine for and they sell it in the end only for $8,000 gross, so it was $10,000 to make, but they only sold it for $8,000, so then of course there's a $2,000 loss, and that would mean, in the basic ISCA relationship, that the seller is going to cut a check for $1,000 to reimburse the producer, the supply of capital, for half of his loss. Okay? That's the basic setup of your textbook step one ISCA relationship. That's the case. So the way Chazal looked at it is,
in order for it to be kosher, it has to be a 50-50?
No.
40-60?
No. They can specify. Partners can specify anything they want. People can do whatever they want. I mean, in terms of profit sharing, liability sharing, partnership, equity, debt. They can do whatever they want, but we're going to have to set it up in such a way that there won't be ribbis. Now I'm going to answer your question directly. The reason why we're assuming this is the basic case is because we're assuming they didn't specify anything. And as your classic case is, we say, let's set up an ISCA relationship. Let's go into partnership. I'll bring the wine, you sell it, we'll split the profits. That's the sum total of their agreement. Everything else is, so then, now the wine went sour, so now they go to basin. Who has to pay whom? So the answer is, if you didn't specify your basic, you said ISCA, you said, I don't use the ISCA, I don't translate to English, so I don't know what the translation would necessarily be. You said an ISCA relationship, then this is how it works out. Maybe you didn't realize, but you're agreeing to half the liability also. Cuts both ways. That's what the basin would say. So that's the agreement.
The default's half.
Sorry?
The
default is half, yes. The default is 50-50, up to 50 down. Yeah. And they could, for argument's sake, do it any way they want. Two-thirds, one-third, whatever the story would be. But the classic ISCA is where the 50-50 in loss, and also in liability, and also in profit sharing. Now, if that's the case, so I'm just rehearsing yesterday because it's important, we're going to build on it for today. When the 1,000 wine bottles worth $10,000 are delivered to the salesman, so we're going to look at, Chazal looked at it as half of that wine is what's called a halva'a, and half the wine is called a pikadon, which we'll rehearse now what that means, we'll review what that means. The pikadon part was from the third parak hamafkid. That means that the salesman becomes a shomer. He's a shomer, and if something happens beyond his control, all shomrim, even though he's a shomer sachar, he's getting compensated here. There, he's a paid custodian. But if a tsunami comes, the paid custodian, the shomer sachar, is also pater. So on the portion on the half that's called pikadon, he has no liability for. If it goes sour, the business doesn't go as expected, so then it's not his problem. So that's the pikadon component. And then the other half is the halva. Halva is the regular loan. And there the deal is that, like any loan, if the borrower for some reason can't pay back the debt because of circumstances beyond his control, it's too bad for him. He still owes the money. He owes the money no matter what. It doesn't disappear. So the way the rabbi's looking at it is half the money is, half the goods, the capital being supplied, has a status of a picadon, which means that there's like so called no liability. Focus. And the other half is considered a halva, where he's liable for it. So that works out 50% of the loss is the 50% of the loss is going to be shouldered by the salesman. That's all cool. But then when that's how it would work out, how we'll allocate, so to speak, the liability if something goes bad. It's all coming from the halva side. The problem is when we allocate the profits, we can't have any of that coming from the halva side, because if I would be borrowing money from you and then paying you back and also giving you back profits, so you're extending a loan, and in addition to your principal you're getting more than what you lent out, that's called ribis. That's no good. So, you know, maybe it's only ribis midrabbanan, it would depend, but lechor it's just midrabbanan because of there's no ketzuta, you didn't ahead of time say how much you're going to pay me back, it depends on the profits, but be that as it may, it's still ribis, and that's usur. So therefore, the way the rabbi set it up to look at it, and the way we're looking at it is, all of the money, since none of the money can be coming from the halva, the loan side of the thing, and all the profits that are being delivered to the supplier of the goods must be coming from the picadon half. Right? That's all good, right? In other words, when I say the $3,000 I'm paying back to you as your profits, we're splitting the $6,000 in profit, it's all coming from the fact that I was able to, you deposited something by me, I was the watchman for you, and I sold your stuff at a profit. Fine. Now, I also sold. Fine. Now, if that's true, so then it looks a little funny, right? Because why am I selling your stuff and delivering them? If it's your stuff that I'm watching, I'm doing work for you, and I'm giving you on your stuff profit. And everyone knows that I also have from you a loan. That's a little funny. It looks like I'm working for you, and I'm really getting compensating you. I'm getting a free loan, but then I'm working for free to sell your stuff and give you the profits. That looks, I don't know if fishy is the right word, but it looks like you're taking ribis. It looks all midrabbanan, but nechsik ribis, it looks something fishy. I've extended the supplier's supplied capital to the worker. The worker is on the hook for that money, part of it, and that, so it's a regular halva. And his return, so once you're a debtor, taking a loan from someone, you're a lova, so then you're never allowed to provide any extra value to your lender. We talked about in the previous Mishnahs, you can't let him stay in your house, which he stayed at every year up till now. You can't do anything that looks like he's getting extra value. So how in the world can I be, me, the worker, the salesman, how could I be providing you with added value and selling your stuff and giving you the profits? Obviously, you're getting benefit from your fact that you extended me a loan. So therefore, the rabbi said, no, no, no. You're right, that's not going to cut it. And therefore, they said that the supplier of capital has to pay the salesman in addition to the splitting of the profits, since he's shouldering liability, the provider of capital has to pay him a fair wage, whatever that was yesterday's Mishnah, but pay him for his time, for working. So therefore, it's clear that the salesman is not working for free, and working for free is going to translate into the equivalent of paying ribis. So that was step one. So there's the bottom line of the Mishnah was, you sum it up now in one sentence, is when you go into an iska partnership with somebody, the person who's providing the capital is actually looked at as partially providing a loan, and therefore the person who's working, the salesman half, he can't just simply split the profits, because then it will look like he's paying the guy ribis. The supplier of capital must also, in addition to splitting the profits with the salesman, the worker, also pay him a daily or whatever his wage. That was step one. Then the Mishnah went on to say, oh, that is all because they're sharing in the liability, and they're really partners. And you have partnership, and if we're in a partnership, and I'm providing the capital, so then and you're returning to me, there's some part of its loan, and therefore you're paying me ribis, if not getting paid also a wage. But step two, the Mishnah said, what would be mutter is if instead of going to partnership, we do a simple profit-sharing arrangement. We're not partners. I'm supplying you the capital, and you are just the worker. But the deal is, instead of me paying you instead of me paying you by the hour or paying you a sales commission, the agreement is a profit-sharing deal. You'll do your best to sell the wine, and whatever money you make, we'll split the profit. There, since you have no liability on the downside, if the ventures are failing, all of it falls back on my shoulders. I'm the loser, the supplier of capital. So therefore, everything I'm giving you is all just a pikadon. I'm giving everything to sell for me, like, I don't know, on consignment, so to speak. And you have no responsibility. Since you have no responsibility, there's no halva component. It's all pikadon. In other words, if a tsunami comes, it's not your fault. It's not your responsibility. So therefore, anything you pay back to me is profit sharing. That's fine. But there's no, since there's no loan in the background, there's no issue of looking like you're Mexic Ribbis, looking like you're giving me Ribbis. So once you, the salesman, the human labor, has no responsibility, you have no loan, everything's picadon. If there's no loan, there's no problem in paying you back the profit. You can give me gifts, you can give me profit, you can do whatever it is. So just the same way we asked about what we could, in terms of the agreement, we could agree to do it a third, two thirds, we could do it by the hour, in terms of the salesman getting paid by the bottle, by the hour, a fixed percentage, whatever incentive agreements you want. The agreement we have here is just a parallel to show the difference. Is the same deal, 50-50 profit sharing, but if there's no liability, there's no problem anymore. And therefore, this is the last thing we discussed as some people were leaving the room. Just the and sort of how what Daniel said earlier on the thing, there's two, essentially two paradigms set up to now in that previous Mishnah. You either can go into partnership, and I'll talk from the perspective of the worker, the human, the salesman for a second. There's two options on the table. Either you have, your upside is capped at 50% at the profit sharing, and your downside is you have none because you have no liability. Or, in addition to 50%, you can also get paid a daily wage, a salary, right? But the downside is you have liability if something goes down. So it's not, there's a compensation. If you take liability, you're also getting paid a wage. And if not, then not. Fine. That's what we set up to yesterday. Now, the Mishnah today says there is a third possibility where essentially there can be, where the salesman, let's call him, can indeed be have liability. He can be responsible for some loss and yet not get compensation on an hourly wage or something like that. And here's how it could be. So the Mishnah says inside now, Mishnah, hey, shaman para, you can, now remember shaman was that code word for we're going to appraise, sorry, it says word hey. So appraise, shaman is to appraise. The idea is you're appraising the value of the cow upon delivery to know if something goes wrong, how much you, who were in charge of the cow, responsible to pay back to me, the provider of the cow. But here, that's what shaman meant. Shaman is a keyword for there's a loan on the, you're on the hook, you have responsibility. So there's a halva going on here. But if we're talking about a para that's grown up, a big cow, the chamor, or a grown up chamor, a donkey, this means big enough that it can do work. So I'm giving you, I'm again the provider of capital here, I'm giving you a cow to finish, to fatten up so we can, you know, I don't know, sell it for big money in the beef market, or I'm giving you a donkey that's only half grown or a third grown that can work already, but we want to get to full strength. And I say, I tell you, you raise the thing, you take care of it, and we'll split the profits of how much we sell it for. Now that was like yesterday, because the difference is, yesterday we talked about, I didn't mention the review a second ago, but we also had two Mishnayos talking about providing small animals to be raised. And it was a similar situation. And there we said, if I'm providing a small animal, like a baby calf or baby foal, for you to raise, so then I have to, and you're on the hook for half the loss, then I have to provide you not only your wages, but also half of the food. We're partners. So you're on the hook for half the loss, you're going to get half the gain. That means I have to pay you wages for the work you're doing for me, like we said before, and also have to pay half of the food that you have to supply to feed the animal. But here, the difference is, in Mishnah Hay, the animal we're talking about here is a grown animal, big enough that it can work. And if it can work, it can generate its own value. So, essentially, all we're going to say is that instead of me paying your daily wage, what you've agreed to do is, instead of getting a daily wage, you've agreed to get use of the animal. It'll produce. The animal will, you know, be a draft animal and plow your field, which has value, and instead of paying you a daily wage, you're getting use of the animal while you're raising it to fatten it up or raise it to become to sell on the market. Meanwhile, you're using it every day to plow your fields or to carry your whatever it is on the back of your donkey. That's your value. So instead of me paying you a wage, I'm giving you the use of my animal, exclusive use. So that will come in place, and that will be okay then. No ribbis anymore, because you see, you're getting paid. What are you getting paid to do? You're getting paid. You're being compensated because you're allowed to use the animal. So that's what it says here. Shaman par v'chamor. You can indeed appraise the value of the cow or the donkey upon delivery from the supplier of the capital to the worker who's providing the human labor. But kol davar shu osa, or anything that both is osa, it produces its own value, va'ocha, and also consumes lamechza, and we can divide it 50-50. In other words, we can have a harayas, we can the deal can be like the previous Mishnah. I'm giving it to you, the little, the medium-sized cow. I'm saying you raise it to be a big cow, and then we'll sell it, and we'll split the profits. In the meantime, and you're on the hook for half of it. But I'm not going to pay you a daily wage like we had in the previous Mishnah, because instead, you can use the cow every day. I don't know what you can do with it. You can do whatever you want with it. You can, it provides. It's a producing good. It'll provide capital. It'll provide value to you. Sorry, it's a workhorse. It's literally a workhorse. Or a little workhorse.
From that work or whatever it produces, you can take the money and buy the feed.
You can buy the feed and also pocket some profit for yourself, essentially, or economic profit, and therefore I don't have to compensate you. So anything that kol davar shu osa, if it produces, the ochel, even if it also consumes, which is, you know, you have to feed it and everything, that's okay. Lamechta can be done with a partnership. No one twisted the guy's arm, but this is his agreement. His agreement is instead of taking direct, you know, wages, he's taking, you know, use of the animal, which is perfectly legitimate and no longer looks like he's paying back ribbis and interest. He's getting compensated. You know, I'm paying you, the reason why I'm working for your half of the picadon, so to speak, and giving you the profit is because you've let me use the animal. So that's fair. It doesn't look like it's a payment of interest elsewhere. Okay. Now, Mishnah has a side point here, which is what happens if we talk about just these generic agreements, we're not specifying. What happens if, while I agree to raise your animal for you, because you give me a half-sized animal, I'm going to make it a whole-sized animal, and work along the way like the previous arrangement, what happens if a baby's born along the way? Now, do I have to raise that one also? Or can I say, listen, I agree to take the big animal, but not the little animal. The little animal is your problem. Little animals are bad news, obviously, because they're ochel and they're not osa. They consume, but they don't produce. So, the answer is, if they're foolish enough not to specify ahead of time what's going to be, so then everything goes after whatever is normal. Anyway, what standard business practice is in that time and place, which is always going to be the rule of thumb, right, in terms of financial transactions. Makam shenagu lachlok esag vlados miyad. If the custom in the place, if this, you know, in this place where this transaction happened, is they split the babies 50-50, they split the whatever the word is, not babies, or what is the word?
Offspring.
Offspring, fine, thank you, good. Offspring 50-50. Immediately then chulkin, that's what they should do. Makam shenagu lagadel. If the deal is no, when you take on to raise my livestock for me, you're agreeing to raise also little animals also, then yagdelu, then yigadelu, then indeed that's what you do. So whatever is normal is normal. Fine. That's a side point. Now the Mishnah continues on here with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel having like an interesting hybrid idea. This is not the halacha, the rabbis rejected, but he's going to say, listen, I can put, you know, yesterday's Mishnah and today's Mishnah together and be clever. But I can say, listen, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, Shaman Egel im imo, v'siach im imo. Before yesterday's case was delivering little babies. Today's case is delivering big animals that can work. We said little babies don't produce, therefore I have to pay you wages. Today we said big animals do produce, so I don't have to pay you wages, I can say you get the use of the animal. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, okay, I got an idea. I can give you two animals, a big one and a little one together, the mommy and the baby. And I should be able to rely all on today's kind of Mishnah, that I don't need to pay you any wages. Why? Because the mommy is today's Mishnah, no problem. Mommy produces, so that's easy. As far as the baby, indeed, the baby alone would be a headache and has no upside, and therefore I'd have to compensate you. But if the mommy's with the baby, so then the truth is, he says I'll give you three reasons, which when you add them all together is enough to say that's enough. Enough compensation. Reason number one is this. Mommy and baby as a team, the baby's easy to deal with because the baby does whatever the mommy does. So instead of having to, you know, wrangle with the baby all the time and get it in and out and deal with it, it just follows the mommy around. So it's much less work. A. So the work is less. B.
It nurses,
yeah. All the, correct. It's fed by the mommy. It's led by the mommy. It's docile because the mommy's there. It's like, so the amount of work you have is much less. Number two, you're getting the mommy and the mommy's producing. We've never given any numbers to these things. We just said as long as there's compensation going on, that's sufficient. So, in other words, he said, yes, you have to give like the normal wages, Rashi Tosafot, Machlokas, how much, but it's just minimal wages. Today we're saying benefit of the animal is considered good as a replacement of that. We didn't say if it's a strong animal, weak animal, a big animal, little animal, if it's, you know, could eat a lot, has a big appetite. We're not considering that. We're just saying as long as it's compensation instead of take the place of, you know, then that will justify repayment, you know, working for me and my picadon. So yesterday's Mishnah, there's no compensation, so it has to be wages. Today, there is compensation, you've used the animal, and we didn't give a dollar sign to that. So he says, listen, you're still getting compensation. The compensation is you're getting used to the big animal. Who cares? There's two. There's a net plus. Obviously, it has to be a net plus. But the amount that the big mommy produces will offset the total cost of feeding the baby, maybe it was the nurses, and taking care of it, still a net plus, so you're still getting compensated. So that's because of the mommy component. And third of all, he says the baby itself is actually producing for you in part because the baby's producing manure, and you can sell the manure, and you can have benefit from the manure. So when it came to, yes, there's Mishnah, there's manure also, but the manure didn't offset the cost. Obviously, there's more cost to put food into the animal than what you get out of the animal as refuse. But it all added together, the bottom line is, when you add those few things, less work because it's got a mommy around, you have a mommy producing on its own, right? And the baby's also making some contribution to feed its way because it can exploit the manure. So all that says, it's a net positive, and mommy and baby is a team, still the supplier of the labor is still getting a net benefit, and therefore that can take the place of wages, and I can give it to you 50-50 partnership, you're responsible after loss, mommy and baby together, even though there's a baby there, I'm not paying you your wages, that's okay, says Rav Shimon Gamliel. The rabbis say, no, I'm not going to cut it. You can't. Mommies that produce, we look at each unit as it stand alone, and the baby needs, you need to compensate it for taking care of the baby, even if it's less. Maybe less compensation, whatever the story is, because less work, but it has to be compensated nonetheless. Remember, according to, let's say like Rashi's example was a function of how much less work you had to do. Your usual work as a blacksmith versus your current work to take care of this baby. So obviously, if it's less work, you'd be able to take even less money, so it'd be a smaller payment. That's for them to negotiate. But the point is, the rabbis reject Rav Shimon Gamliel's idea, and they say, no, little animals who don't produce need to be compensated by daily wages. Okay. Now, new paragraph, like a new, it's obviously connected, but it's like a new case altogether. So, like, take a break or take a mental break. New idea. A very common way of going into business, which has existed, you know, I don't know, since time immemorial, is the rich people who own the capital own the fields, and the poor people, the peasants who don't own land, work for them. We've I don't remember where we've seen it, but we've seen it from time to time. It's like so common. It was like, sure. We had two kinds of basic. There are three ways that this relationship can work out. Three ways. Wait, so in other words, I'm too poor to own my own land. Everyone's a subsistence farmer. Everyone works off the land. So how am I going to survive? What am I going to eat? So there's three ways we can go about doing it. Number one is I can just simply, not a topic today, but I can just rent the land from you. I can just rent it from you. So now that's simple enough if I'm rich. The second way is called aresis, which is sharecropping. I forgot how we translated in English before, but so I don't want to translate again because I don't want to mix up the translation. Aresis, whatever it's translated in English is, the idea is that we're splitting the profits 50-50. Or whatever, arbitrarily. We're splitting it, you know.
I do all the work and we split all the
right. I do the work, we split the profit. It could be one-third, two-thirds in your favor or my favor, whatever you agree to. The point is, I'm doing all the work, yeah, but you're providing the land. So whatever the deal is, the deal is. The point is, I forgot how we translated that in English, but it's a rhesus, where the point is, in the rhesus relationship, obviously I have no responsibility for the field, all I have is upside of the profit. So that won't get into any problems of rivis. Right. But there's another way, and that is our topic of this Mishnah, which is being a choker. A choker, chakiris, is where instead of me agreeing to a percentage of the produce being handed to you, which then is a function of how the thing produces, I agree to you to a fixed amount every year. So I agree every year I'm going to take over your field, I'll take care of your field, but I agree to you to deliver, you know, 100 bushels of corn or wheat, whatever it is, 100 bushels of wheat every year in exchange. So it's fixed. Remember we said that's a bad way to go.
Whether it produces or not.
Exactly. We agree ahead of time. You give me the land. I'm going to live there. I'm going to do it all. Everything is for me. But instead, so to speak, rental payment will be that I'll pay you, give you a fixed amount of produce every year. But win or lose, which is bad news in a famine year or whatever it is, right?
That's a rental.
You can call it a rental, fine. But it's called chakiris because instead of paying you cash, I'm paying you from the thing the field produces. The problem is I'm just on the hook. Bad news. Now, that in its own right wouldn't necessarily have a ribis problem yet, because there's no loan and interest. But the case of our Mishnah is where the choker, the guy who's the, I forgot how we translated this guy in English, but the choker, who's agreed to pay, you know, 100 bushels a year, says, you know what, technology is developed, we need to improve on the field so we can produce more, or it's not producing as it should, or we need to do renovations, or we need a sprinkler system, or we need a new fence around it, or who knows what. We need infrastructure investment. and I haven't got the money, so I'm going to go to, so he goes to his, the landowner, and says he needs to borrow the money. He needs the money to improve the land to work it. Now that sounds like potentially like a loan, right? I put the word borrow the money. I live here. I lived here for the last 30 years, and I just pay a tax of 100 bushels every year to you. That's how it's been going for a long time. I say, listen, we need to have improvements. I need cash. So I ask you for cash, and in exchange, we up the annual payments, right? So now I'm taking, as I say, listen, we need $1,000 to put in infrastructure, and I'm agreeing to pay you, instead of $100 bushels, I'll pay 110 bushels from now on. In exchange. So now it looks like Rivas, maybe.
That wouldn't kind of be the same if you're renting an apartment and the landlord comes and says, I'm painting the apartment, but now I'm upping your rent $5 a month.
Putting in windows.
Right. To answer your question is, yes, that is how it is. But that's the answer. Yes, correct. The mission is going to say, no problem. But I'm going to point out that the mission's Chiddush is addressing the point that you might have thought. Indeed, you're correct. You might have thought that looks like I'm saying I need cash, I can't afford it, so give me money, and in exchange I'll pay you, more every year in exchange for the cash. So you might think that looks like a loan, and then I'm paying you ribis. But the answer is, of course, like exactly what you said, that no, what we're looking at is, I'll talk apartment to your example. Yeah, the apartment before repainted, it did go for $1,000 a month, but now it's a repainted, refurbished apartment. The new price of going for apartments and on this standard is, $1,100 a month. Not interest, that's just an improvement in my land. And now it's a new kind of field, and now it commands a higher price. So to speak, if I go to the open marketplace and find anyone else to be my tenant farmer, that's what we translated. We tenant Arisus as sharecropper and Chakiras as tenant farmer. That's a good way. I can find someone else to be my tenant farmer who will agree to the new price of 110 because it has a sprinkler system and it has a fence around and everything else. It's worth more. So that's the answer. It's mutter, not ribbis, because it's like a new field, and that's what the Mishnah says here. It says
it's a new contract.
It's like a new contract, right? It's like a new deal, and it's not exactly. So the Mishnah says here, umafriz al sadehu. Do you have mafriz? Is that what you have there? Because or it's mafrin. I just wondered what you actually.
I have two gear mafriz.
Okay, so I have mafriz too. The bartender has two gear cells. It means like improve, increase, improve. The point is that the mafrin would be whatever it means the landowner can increase the rent that he's charging his tenant cropper, his tenant farmer on his field, ve'eno choshesh, and he has no reason to fear mishum ribis. It doesn't look like ribis, it's just an improvement to the land, then it's like a new contract, right? Fine, that's the mission's point there. Very good.